The unsurpassed, penetrating and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. So, we just had a lovely festival. It was really nice to see everybody. People we've had for a long time, people who are new, all of us together. Very, very nice to see you all. And today I'm going to talk about kindness. I feel like I talk about kindness all the time, but somebody recently said, well, actually, we need more talks on kindness. And made a very good point. Not just kindness when it's people are nice to us, or when we feel like being kind, when we're all having a lovely ceremony together, we can be all sorts of kind, you know. Oh, yes, lovely. But kindness when it's hard. Kindness when we're upset. Kindness when we're afraid. Kindness to people we don't know. Kindness to people who are... we don't know what's going to happen with that person. In all kinds of situations where we don't feel kindness arising naturally, sometimes when it's really hard, how do we practice kindness? And this person actually put it really well. They said, many of us find it kind of awkward to be kind, especially with someone you don't know. There you are, out in the city, you know. To be kind to a complete stranger, you feel awkward. And maybe think, well, this won't be welcome. Maybe you'll get a sort of cold stare in return or some kind of rebuff. So it's hard to get past that feeling of... will this person welcome a kind word? Well, usually people do. And at the least, usually they appreciate our floundering efforts to be kind. But there's a kind of an obstacle there for us quite often. We feel, I don't know about this. And I found that, I thought it was a really helpful point. Not wanting to be pushy or interfering. Think, well, maybe they know what they're doing, I guess so. But actually, maybe we could do something to help someone. And then we go away and think, I should have done something, I should have said something, you know. Learning to be compassionate in all situations as best we can. And we're not perfect. How to make compassion a basic part of our life, a practice we continually do, not just when it's easy, but when it's hard also. To be kind with complete strangers, you know, a gas station attendant, politicians who've done things we would rather they didn't do. And we may not actually see them or talk to them, but to have a kind thought rather than a judgmental thought, not easy, you know. Our people we work with, bosses, families sometimes, maybe people who have been unkind to us in the past. Not easy always to be kind to people. You know, homeless people or people we think, I don't know what that, you know, that person is unpredictable. Or some people are afraid of homeless people and they just, you look the other way and don't want to know they're there. But you, why not just say hello? That seems sometimes more worth more than anything, just to say hello to somebody, have a little chat with them, rather than think they're some alien being. To take time with people is kindness. And it's not always easy to be kind, because sometimes we just kind of scuttle by in our little bubble, as it were. And this person put it very nicely. They said, we hesitate to step out of our little bubbles. Which I think is nice. We have this little bubble around us. Here I am in my little bubble of me and my stuff and where I'm going, what I'm doing, and I don't have time for that person. I'm sure they're fine. And, you know, I've got places to go and things to do. But actually, if we can step outside that little bubble, then it reminds us that actually we're all connected. And I thought this was a really good point. Just learning to be kind helps us to understand the connection between all of us. Because it's hard sometimes, but it's not difficult to understand. but to just step out there a little bit. This doesn't mean we have to go around beaming sweetness and light to all beings, but just to be kind when it seems appropriate. You know, sometimes you have those little moments where you just connect with a complete stranger, you know, a little smile or a little word, and it comes up naturally. Other times, somebody may need help. You just might think, well, do they need help? Do they want help? Can I help them? Should I help? Maybe I won't. I'll just go, you know. And actually to step out and say, you know, something. Or just pass the time of day with somebody. Here in Mount Shasta, it's a fairly small town, and it's easier to do that. In the big city, it can seem a lot harder, because there's always beings, nearly all of whom you don't know, running back and forth, all in their own little bubble, and most of them on the phone anyway. But just feeling everybody seems to be in their own little world, and how helpful it is just to step out of that for a moment, to be kind, when it's appropriate, when it comes up naturally, or when we feel there's a need. And there's times when you just know, I better stay away from that situation and just offer merit silently. But you can still do that. You can still think a kind thought of somebody or offer them merit, even if you can't directly interact with them for some reason. Stepping out of our little bubble. We go around in this little bubble of me and my stuff. Our concerns, what I'm going to do, where I'm going, what's happening to me, where I have to be in 5 minutes, what happened this morning that I'm still worrying about, you know. And we can be oblivious to people around us, the person standing next to us on the bus or wherever we might be. And it can feel more comfortable just to stay in our little bubble, focused on our own affairs. And it takes effort to step out of that, out of our little comfort zones, we call it. And to notice when a little kindness might be in order. To take a little time with people, whether they're people we know or people we don't know. Just take a moment to say hello to somebody, or somebody wants to talk to us. To just take some time with them and not be thinking, oh, I have to be somewhere else. What's our life for, if not to be kind to the person right here now, and not be thinking so much about where I should be later or where I was before? The person right here in front of me, just a little kindness in this moment with this being right here. There's nobody closer to me in the world than this person standing next to me on the bus. It's so strange. When you're flying in a plane, you know, there you are sometimes. You see all these sleeping people. People always seem to be sleeping on the plane. I don't know why. Well, they're all sleeping. Complete strangers to each other. But that trusting ourselves to each other to sleep in the presence of complete strangers, of something really beautiful about that. You don't think of it. But in fact, there's an immense amount of trust that people actually naturally have. And it actually is called forth from us. And sometimes we just tap into that. Or we see somebody else entrusting themselves to us. We entrust ourselves to others. We do step out of our little bubbles often, but we don't always notice. Fear. It's fear is the key. Fear of, it's the simplest thing, fear of embarrassment. If I say something to this person, I say good morning, will they just kind of stare at me coldly like, what's wrong with you? If they do, so what? It's not going to kill me, you know? Maybe they'll pull out a gun and shoot me, but probably not. And even if we're awkward about it and we don't know when to be kind or how to be kind, people usually see our good intention. And it actually, you know what it's like when somebody is kind to us. They just give us a kindly word when we're in a state or we're late or we're feeling terrible. Somebody just kind to us, a complete stranger, or helps us when our car's broken down. It makes a whole difference to our day. And we can do that too, helping beings. Fear is what seems to separate us. It's fear that creates that little bubble. If I'm in my little bubble and I don't have to look at anything outside, I feel a little safer. I'm in my bubble, in my comfort zone. I know where I'm going and I don't have to worry about all those people out there.
don't know what they're doing, but they're in their own bubbles, and I'm sure they're fine. But if I'm in my own little bubble, I think I'm a little safer. But actually, we're not. There's no bubble. It's silly. And the fear is what seems to separate people. And of course, what causes all the trouble. If we weren't all afraid of each other all the time, we wouldn't have wars, violence. Most of the horrible things that happen are based on fear. Whether it's simple fear of embarrassment, or fear of being harmed, or even killed by somebody, it's just fear. And to see that fear and sit still in the midst of it is the thing that's not easy. And sometimes that little fear of embarrassment seems bigger than fear of death. People say this. People are more afraid of public speaking than they are of nuclear war. That's telling. You know? Our self-involvement, our feeling of being separate from everyone else. Here I am, going along in my own life, doing my thing. And to step out of that, to see our connectedness to all other beings, takes effort and stillness and presence of mind. I have to be here now to remember, I'm in this aeroplane, this bus, on this street, wherever it is, with all these other human beings. I may not know them, but we're all human beings. They all have their own family, their history, their worries, their fears, their sadnesses, you know, the things they want, just like me, not different, not separate. And to consider that is really helpful, just to look at that. When we're driving in traffic, if we're driving in traffic, and especially heavy traffic, we have a choice. We can drive along thinking, there's me in my car, and there's everybody else in my way. And here I am trying to get to where I'm going, and that person's cutting me off. Or we can do it quite differently. We can think, here we all are, in our cars, our little bubbles maybe, all going the same way, all just living our lives. It's a kind of a stream of harmony when you think about it that way. And then if somebody cuts me off, well, maybe they have a good reason. Maybe they've got to get to somebody who's dying. I could think the rest of it. You know, maybe not just a habit. Maybe there's a real reason they need to go. I don't have to worry. I can just see them as not separate from myself, not the other person in the other car who's in my way, but to see us all in harmony together. I find it quite helpful. And it certainly makes driving a whole lot more pleasant when you don't think of me and everybody in my way. We don't have to judge, we don't have to get upset. We can take a little time. Being kind to the people we live with. Sometimes it's easier to be kind with people we don't know than kind to the people we live with, because sometimes we have history, sometimes they haven't always been kind to us. Sometimes they just annoy us. The thing they do every day, and every single time they do that, it annoys me. And still, to practice kindness, acceptance, patience, they're probably not going to change anytime soon. And I can suffer, or I can get used to it. We mentioned this theme a couple of weeks ago. I can be unhappy about it, or I can accept it. This is how they are. I live with them. Maybe I love them, even despite that dreadful habit they have of whatever it is. Would I really want them to be totally different? Or would I rather just accept them as they are, warts and all, and love them as they are? Well, probably the latter when we think about it. And when our close people, anybody, irritates us, can we just take a breath, take a moment before we say something irritated, but just not the end of the world. It's okay. I can live with this. And maybe we have to talk about something that is, you know, a difficulty. But to do it when we're not upset is a great blessing. If we say something when we're upset, it comes out backwards, it doesn't go well, and we wish we hadn't. But if we wait and trust that the right moment will appear, usually it does, and then we can just simply say something in a natural way, and I'd say, oh, sorry, okay, I'll try and change. Or they might say, too bad. But at least we're not upset. We're not upset. And it really helps to address difficulties when we're not. At least one of us isn't upset. It's helpful. Being kind when we're afraid, you know, being kind to somebody when we don't know what they're going to do. Maybe a complete stranger who's kind of shouting on the street or something, or somebody who's got some power over us, who's angry with us, or whatever it might be. To be kind when we're afraid. To sit still and to feel that, let that fear be there, but not have it drive us into angry defensiveness or something that actually makes the situation worse. Just to sit still and to recognize that fear. And we'll come to that, back to that in a minute. Being kind when we're angry and judgmental, whether it's somebody we know, somebody on the news has done something, somebody we see from a distance doing something that we wish they wouldn't do. That angry, judgmental, why are they doing that? That's a terrible thing to do. Look at the harm they're doing. Somebody else I was talking to recently was describing how when the physical eye, just perceives part of the picture. For a start, you're seeing everything upside down. And then it gets transferred in the brain to a right way up thing. But there's also great gaps in what we see, apparently. And the brain puts it all together to make some kind of sense of it. And we don't know we do that, because that's what brains do. It's been doing it all our life. And we just see these little patchy things, and we put it together into some kind of a picture. Which actually doesn't give us great confidence, but it's a lesson for life. Because we do that with other things, with situations. We see a little bit of the picture, or some little bits. There's great gaps in our information, but we put together some kind of idea of what's going on. And sometimes we're completely wrong. And we may get all angry and judgmental about something, but if we knew the bigger picture, if we knew what it was like to be that person, maybe we'd do it, maybe we'd think differently. We have no idea what it's like to be that person who's doing something we think is really dreadful. We don't know, well, you know, why are they doing it? We don't rightly know. What they do may be harmful. We may not like what they do, but we don't have to judge the person. Maybe we can offer a little merit. Think of them with kindness and not just harshness. When we're tired, or we're stressed or upset, it can be harder to respond with kindness. When one more thing comes our way, I'm at my limit, got all this stuff to do, nothing's working, or I'm late, or I don't feel well, or all of the above, and then somebody comes to us with one more thing, or something that's just, we think, oh God, I can't do this. And we may not respond with kindness. We may be snippy and crabby. But it feels like a relief, maybe for a moment, just, oh, blah, blah, blah. But actually, it makes it worse, because then we feel bad. Not only do we feel bad, but we feel worse, because we feel bad about having been snippy and crabby, and it would have been better. Could we have just waited a moment and been patient? You know, patience is a huge part of kindness, actually. It's probably most of it. Patience with all the things that come our way, patience with people when they don't do what we'd like them to do, when they ask us something at the worst possible moment. And it's not really a relief at all to be crabby. It's much better just to take that breath and wait. Be patient and allow kindness to arise. And then if we have to say something, we can respond in a better way. As I said earlier, you feel upset, angry, snippy. Things don't tend to come out so well, and then we feel badly. Kindness helps us as well as everybody else. It's a huge blessing. It's a large part of our practice because it does partake of patience, equanimity, selflessness, all acceptance, all these other things relate to kindness. The rain of the Dharma pours into the lake of kindness. That's what the offertory said today. Because the rain of the Dharma, all the teachings of the Buddha, help to foster kindness. The Metta Sutra that we recited. The way the Metta Sutra came into being, the Metta is loving kindness, which is the Metta Sutra is the meditation on loving kindness, the fostering of loving kindness, kindness to beings. And this came about in the time of the Buddha, when some monks went out into the forest to meditate. And there they were, set up their place in a nice spot and sat down to meditate. And the tree spirits were unhappy, because these monks were chanting and carrying on and disturbing their peace. And the tree spirits, devas in the trees, don't ask. There's all sorts of things we don't see. The tree spirits were unhappy. And they started bothering the monks. They'd make noises to frighten them, and they'd do things to just upset them. And the monks got quite frightened and worried and went back to the Buddha. And the Buddha said, practice this. And he gave them the Metta Sutra. And they learned it, and they went back, and they would recite the Metta Sutra, offering loving kindness to all beings. And the tree spirits were delighted and stopped creating disturbance and wanted the bhikkhus to stay, the monks to stay, because they were so happy to have this offering of kindness. Now, this helps the monks with their fear. It helps to dispel the situation that may be causing the fear, like you've got some argument with somebody or some difficulty with someone. But it also helps us to dissolve that bubble of me and my stuff, me against everything else, me separate from everyone, because the very nature of practicing loving kindness, offering merit. The other invocation we sang, may all beings be happy. First, may I be happy. May relatives be happy. May friends be happy. Strangers. May all beings be happy. We spread it out further and further. And that helps to dissolve this bubble of me, myself, and the fear that it comes from. It's just fear that causes us to feel separate from other beings. And practicing loving kindness helps immeasurably with that fearfulness, whether we're driving in traffic, whether we're on a street in confrontation with somebody who frightens us, dealing with people we don't know, dealing with people we're afraid of, dealing with people we're annoyed by, dealing with people that we judge, thinking of beings in the world, thinking of all the warfare, the slaughter, the awful things that happen, earthquakes, it's nobody's fault, but all the things that happen in the world, all the suffering that beings undergo, or that they inflict on others, if we can think of all of them with loving kindness, both the people who do harm and those who have harm done to them, because it works both ways, but to offer kindness to all of them, may they be happy and at peace. May they, let me see, let's look it up, be at ease. Yes. Let none harm another. May all beings be at ease. Wishing in gladness and in safety, may all beings be at ease. Whatever living beings there may be, weak or strong, great or mighty, and so forth, may all beings be at ease. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm on another. Even as a mother protects her only child, so with a boundless heart, could one cherish all living things. A boundless heart, no little bubble of self, but a boundless, boundless heart of kindness, which dissolves that fearful self. And it's a constant practice, because it comes back. Something happens, we're afraid, and we tighten up again. But to keep offering that kindness to the people we know, people we love, people we don't know, beings out we will never see, because our thoughts of kindness affect the whole world in ways we don't see, as angry thoughts affect people. Even when we're not saying anything, if we're thinking angry thoughts, it does make a difference. It causes more anger in the world. But if we foster kind thoughts, loving kindness, offering merit, wishing well to beings, may all beings be happy and at peace. Free from hatred and ill will, whether standing or walking, radiating kindness over the entire world. Once you sustain this recollection, to keep practicing this, to keep coming back to the boundless heart of loving kindness, that's a real help with practicing kindness in difficult situations. It helps when it's easy, but it also helps when it's difficult. When we're afraid, when we're in confrontation with somebody, when we're upset, when we have to say something to someone and I don't really want to do it. To be able to offer that loving kindness is an immeasurable help in dissolving fear and that self-regard, that little bubble of self. Stepping outside our bubble, relinquishing, dissolving our bubble, dissolving that feeling of separation, and to see that we're really all just little cells in this one body, not little separate bodies really, we're just little cells in one rather large body, body of the Buddha. That's it. Happy Vaisak.
Thank you.